Round one to go ahead. Full team against Richmond. Playing with no supporters. What happens to the AFLW season? It's a strange world we live in. We discuss these and more on The Blue Baggers. Welcome to the Blue Baggers podcast. I'm Chris, and I don't have Andy here with me in the bagger basement. We're self-isolating. How are you doing, Andy?
I'm very good, Chris, very good. It's kind of weird over the phone, isn't it?
Yeah, it's weird. We should mention that this is the first time we've not been in the same studio.
And I want to reiterate, it's nothing to do with the government's self-isolation kind of protocols. I've had enough of you, to be honest, sitting opposite you for the last 8 months while we've done the show. So it's just nice to be away.
Have your own space.
Yeah.
not being
the bagger's basement, which I love. So it is a shame. It's kind of weird doing remotely. But
we've got our reasons. But hopefully, all the show must prevail. So we'll move it on.
The show must go on.
Yeah, we're both probably a little bit sick as well. Not non-coronavirus related, but scratchy throats and all, so you'll have to excuse our voices and potentially some coughs here or there and any potential audio problems, as it is the first time.
I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, well, my first question is, are you excited, Andy? We're on the eve of round one, the AFL Premiership season 2020.
Yeah, it's massive, and it's just been announced, obviously, a couple of hours ago, that round one will go ahead.
This podcast comes late because we were waiting for the announcement, and it went from 6 to 6:30 to 7 to 7:30 or so.
Well, it does change how we kind of do the podcast. I mean, we're talking about whether or not the AFL is going to play round one, whether we're going to play round one on tomorrow night against the Tigers. So yeah. it's a big decision.
Yeah, well, the teams came out a little bit early, but we had a long wait for those as well. But are you excited?
I'm extremely excited. Of course I am.
Do you want the footy to go ahead now?
Well, of course I do. And, you know, it's always good because we're the first game. We have been the first game against the Tigers for the last few years. So for us, it's really exciting. I mean, if this round was to be cancelled, at least we'd get our game in. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. It's just like we said, it is a weird world we're living in generally, and also football related.
Can you imagine if we copped an injury? And look, touch wood, don't want to jinx or anything like that.
Are you touching wood? Because I can't see you.
I sure I am.
Okay, good.
But honestly, like, if hypothetically, and I'm talking real doomsday, I'm talking, you know, I'm playing the devil's advocate here, but, you know, round one goes ahead as planned and we play tomorrow night, you know, if something then happens, you know, maybe a player comes out with a virus Friday, which wouldn't be out of the realm, would it, considering what's happening in the world at the moment. So then we've played the game. Geez, you'd be gutted if, you know, it'd be great. I mean, I want to see the players play, but you'd be gutted to see if something happened, you know, and so would Richmond supporters, something happened to their players when, you know, this could be ultimately a season that's going to be drastically shorter, or, you know, there's potential that it may not fully go ahead. So
yeah, it's very interesting, and it's something unique. It's something we haven't experienced before, so I think we've just got to accept that the season's not going to be like any other. It's not going to be how we wanted it to start with. If we get the best result based on that, then we will be happy-ish. But yeah, it is odd, mixed feelings. Normally we're really up and about this time of year, but
yeah, I mean,
we were
saying before. I mean, when do the teams usually come out?
I'm sure it's two nights beforehand what would be a Thursday night. It'd be a Tuesday night.
So I mean, I just don't understand. Look, I understand there has to be, you know, this is a kind of an unusual situation, and it does come down to the last minute to a degree, but why wouldn't they just name? I mean, I'm sure Carlton and Richmond both knew the teams that we need to be playing if this game was to go on. So why wouldn't the AFL treat this, you know, as per normal, release the teams, try and get a build up? But I feel like it's been a kind of late build up to the game. You know, the teams have just been announced, you know, 2 hours ago. You know, we're under 24 hours to the game. It's just, I don't know, it's a bit strange to me.
Yeah, well, the fact that they're playing seems like an anomaly, and that they'd make the other decision rather than this decision. So
yeah,
it seems strange. They should have gone ahead and said, well, let's go, you know, we're playing the game, these are the teams, this is what's happening, yeah, and then we'll make a decision.
And then
if
they had to cancel, they had to cancel. Yeah. At least just play things as per normal, and you know, try and get some sort of normality back into what is going to be a really unusual season and an unusual kind of situation. So yeah, what do you feel about the 16-minute quarters?
Well, look, I'm not too bothered. I'm sort of come to the conclusion that it's going to be an odd season. As we've said, any football we get is probably going to be a bonus, so if we've got to make some adaptations, then so be it. We have to do that. So 16-minute quarters, well, we're normally 20-minute quarters plus time on, so not a drastic change. Yeah, if it's going to help, and I think the reason for that is they're going to try to push through some games while they can. I think these first 4 weeks might look a bit different than what the fixture currently, says.
But is 16 minutes really going to make a massive kind of difference on... I don't understand the kind of the rationale behind why they'd shorten a quarter by 4 minutes.
I think it's just because of recovery. If you're going to play a game 5 days later, or a couple of games 5 days in a row, you've exerted yourself less. You should have some more in the tank to do that.
But is that definitely going to be how
no, it's not.
It? Because the first four rounds are going to be as per normal.
Well, they're as per normals in the fixture and who you're playing. But
yes,
I think they might manipulate that whilst, you know, they've got a clean run. They'll try to get as many games as they can because we don't know what the future holds.
Think Wednesday night games?
Yeah, I think there's a real chance the first 4 weeks or first even 3 weeks, they might get four or five games in there.
And look,
that kind of
ties into how Carlton, we heard the news last night, how they've offered up Princess Park as a potential playing ground during this kind of time, which is, I think, of course, biased, but it's a good idea. If there can't be crowds there, and the stadium's equipped, and like they said, the surface is unbelievable at Princess Park, so you know, why not do it if they're going to have to rush games? Look, I can understand that to a degree, but quarters will still go for 25 minutes because they currently go for about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You're right, with the 20 minutes plus the time on, so...
Yeah, and Princess Park's an obvious choice, except for the sort of the advertising they'd have to get there, but no spectator amenity needed because there won't be spectators, which brings us on to the next one, playing in front of, stadiums with no crowd. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, it's a strange one. I mean, yeah, I watched the grand final, the game through the grand final, the NBL last night, and you know, the first thing you kind of do notice is on the replay, I was watching it, but it's very jarring to see at first, but I realised as the game went on, you kind of do get used to it. And
yeah,
I know an NBL or a basketball stadium is completely different to how you'd view an AFL stadium, where they can fit, you know, like we'd be getting
90,000,
you know, 80 to 90,000 tomorrow night. So it's a different kind of sport in that sense. But yeah, look, it's going to be strange. And the AFLW obviously had it last week, and one of my mates actually said, like, what happens if someone kicks goal of the year? Wouldn't that be without a crowd?
Disappointing,
in front of
wouldn't it?
It'd be really, it'd be very strange.
Yeah. Well, you're exactly
so the commentators,
right.
The commentators are the one who have got a really big kind of responsibility to keep the game as captivating as they can.
Create the atmosphere.
Create the atmosphere, exactly right. So hopefully they do a great job. And look, it's going to be really weird.
Yeah. Good luck to them. As you mentioned, the NBL, it is a bit different though, because I guess the game's played closer or it's tighter, so it might be different on an AFL field. I'm sure it will be, but it's probably going to become the new norm, isn't it? So we probably better get used to it.
Yeah, look, do you know what, it would be kind of like watching a TAC game, let's be honest.
Yeah most likely
watching a TAC game at the G or at Marvel. So you know, it's always a bit weird to see, and even when you flick it on and watch those games, but you get used to it. And look, the focus is on the footy, it's not on the fans, but it's more the kind of atmosphere. I wonder if the bigger impact is obviously going to be with the players. You know, there are players that thrive on that kind of, you know, atmosphere of the crowd. So that'll be the interesting one.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, you raise an interesting point there about, you know, the crowds. And Gil said, when asked the question, basically, get used to it. There's a possibility that's going to be the case all season.
Yeah. And I think, you know, if they're going to be trying to, you know, they're saying they're, you know, potentially going to change the fixture so that there can be more games played. And that's obviously to get as many games in as they can. But, you know, I think the AFL would ultimately hope for that when it comes to finals or the back end of the season, that there will be things would have changed and for the better, and we can have crowds there and hopefully have a relatively normal kind of AFL final series.
Yeah, look, speaking of the press conference that we waited for quite some time, I've got some Gil
quotes. What, 5:30, 6 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock?
Yeah, yeah, kept going. Got a couple of quotes from there which have the implications on the game, the broader game, so I'll run a few past you and get your view on them.
Yep.
So, the AFLW will proceed, however, we will forgo the final 2 weeks of the home and away season and go straight to finals.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So, as it stands, normally it's top three, isn't it, that play?
Yeah, I think so. And there's two more weeks.
So now they're making top. Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, it's disappointing for, you know, it's very disappointing for the AFLW teams that aren't going to make the finals.
And don't have the opportunity where they
might have. Well, don't have the opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine how gutted, you know, we would be, for instance, if Carlton were 10th on the ladder and they had to forego the last two rounds when we had the opportunity, if we won the last two, that we would make the finals. You'd be absolutely gutted, especially if you've got a bit of momentum or anything like that, or, you know, any opportunity to play finals that's been taken away from you where you've got absolutely no control. It's gutting. So, you know, look, I think at the end of the day, the whole thing is we all have to adapt, and the AFL are and the AFLW will need to, and all these other sports around the world. It's just the way it is. So, you know, really sad for the teams that don't have the opportunity to play the finals. But I mean, from you know, we're the blue baggers, and
selfishly,
looks like we're going to be playing the finals.
Yeah,
yep.
Yep. So we're not sure.
So we're second at the moment.
Yeah. So second out of three in our division or conference. So we should be playing
on 20 points, I think. Yeah.
Just be a bit of a disappointing end to what's been a great season. But who knows? The finals might be brilliant. So it might be electrifying and we're all happy. All right.
What could be worse, though, Chris, is, you know, play the last two rounds and then then they cancel the finals.
That's
so,
exactly right.
I mean,
I think it's a good decision.
It's a 50-50, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a good decision based on that. What's more important? Get a premier, play the finals.
Yeah, and that's it. And if you're a team that is outright deserved from how you've played all year to play in the finals, that's probably more disappointing in a way than the teams that are unfortunately going to miss out because they didn't have the opportunity to make them.
Yep. All right, next one. And we kind of touched on this a bit earlier. Will you try and cram some of those matches into shorter weeks? Gil McLaughlin, if we can accelerate, we will.
Yeah. Well, that's, I suppose,
is coronavirus going to get better or worse?
I don't know.
In the coming weeks and months,
I'm definitely not a doctor.
No, if you had to put your money down.
Oh look, yeah, I'd say the way the world's going, it's going to only get worse.
Yes.
And like we said, and Gil's come out and said that, you know, it's only a matter of one player being infected that is going to possibly cause a delay in the cancellation.
Stop, yeah. So, yeah, whilst that hasn't happened, they're going to get moving, aren't they?
Yeah, it would. Yeah, and
surely.
And, do you know what? Initially, I didn't understand the 16 minutes. I didn't realise they were. I thought the fixture was going to be pretty set. I didn't realise they were going to accelerate games by pushing them back.
Well, there's no certainty, but that's what we're thinking.
Yeah, that's probably what they're going to go. I've got to kind of flip to that question is, does this kind of format, where we're going to be playing potentially shorter time periods between game to game, does that suit a team like Carlton?
It's hard to tell, isn't it? I mean, it's probably going to suit the teams that aren't quite as fit and probably have better recovery. But who are they? Is that the older teams, the more experienced teams? Is it a whole lot of questions I don't really have an answer for you.
you know, the younger teams that they can potentially recover the body quicker, you know, and I don't know. I'm not sure what the answer to that is because, it's again, it's something that we've never experienced and it'll just be interesting to see.
Well, it's the same thing as will not having a crowd benefit any of the teams. Was that going to benefit Richmond or Carlton tomorrow night, do you think? Richmond would have had more supporters at a home game.
I mean, it's a tough one. I'd say there's, to be honest, when you play teams like Carlton and Richmond, Carlton and Collingwood, Essendon, Richmond, Essendon, Collingwood, those kind of big four matchups or the big teams, I don't think the crowd really has a huge impact, especially now that we play on a pretty neutral territory ground. It's no longer the club kind of grounds. So I don't think it would make much of a difference. If it was Fremantle versus Carlton, then I'd say that Carlton miss out on that one.
All right, Andy. The next question for Gil. What do you say to the people who question the decision to play this weekend? Are you above other codes not playing this weekend? His response, it's in line with government policy. Thoughts? Mm.
Oh, Jesus.
He's having a bit of a whack there, isn't he?
Do you know, it's a political podcast. You're turning into a political podcast.
Are we going too political?
I don't know. Look, it's... I know the criticism is that other codes in the world, you know, the NHL, the NBA, the Premier League, they've all...
And other Australian codes.
And other Australian codes, yeah, the rugby. I don't know. Look, I think probably case by case. I think potentially... Are we maybe delaying the inevitable that someone will get sick and it's
absolutely
kind of going to be...
It is going to happen.
Yeah, so...
I think his response was strong there and in line. I thought it was a good response, personally.
But look, while there's no reported cases, maybe we do try and get as many games as we can and, you know, then we can manipulate the kind of bye season and do a few things where, you know, potentially it could go back on track. But, yeah, let's be honest, someone's going to get sick, unfortunately, with this coronavirus, and it'll cause cancellation or temporary cancellation to the game. So,
all right, enough of the political stuff. Do you want to move on?
Oh, thank God.
All right, let's go. Your wrap of the Brisbane game. The last of the Marsh game. Community Series games, which is probably, 2 weeks ago now?
Yeah.
Week and a half.
Yeah, it was. Yep, week and a half. So I thought it was a bit like the Fremantle game. It was disappointing to a degree when you look at the final scores. But unlike the Fremantle game, which we didn't actually get in front at any stage for, the Brisbane game started great. We obviously kicked the first four goals. It was awesome to see Betts kick two of those first four and Nunes kick a goal as well. So three out of the four goals kicked by brand new recruits, Betts coming back. And then the second quarter, it just kind of, Brisbane got back into the game a fair bit more. And I think in the second half, they kicked about eight of the last 10 goals. And
especially that last
really kind
quarter.
Really forced away. And also, I mean, I'm not being, you know, playing sour grapes here, but I mean, they kicked a goal on the siren and blew the margin out. But it was, at the end of the day, it was a 70-point turnaround from a really strong first quarter, a good second quarter. And we just ran out of legs and, you know, we missed a lot of goals.
16-minute quarters might help us.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think there were really good signs and, you know what? Our good players play well. We saw some good signs from, Jack Martin again, who I thought was outstanding and things like that. But yeah, there's obviously a lot of, you know, progress we need to make. And like we said, Brisbane are a lot better than Fremantle and Brisbane are a good team. They finished second in the, at the end of the season last year. So look, yeah, we got beaten pretty convincingly in the end, but I think, you know, if we can continue that kind of form that we do in the first quarter where, you know, we kicked, you know, a pretty good score in the first quarter and then the next three quarters we couldn't even, I don't think we even made that score again. So disappointing. And
do we have more questions or answers from that game? And if we've got questions, what are they?
So the first question I've got, Chris, for you do we still have a deficiency in our small backs? Because we just saw in that Brisbane game, Charlie Kamranak absolutely tear us apart, kicked 5 goals, easily the best on ground. Do we have someone that can really shut down those electrifying small forwards for the opposition?
Short answer, no. No, we don't. We went with Plowman again, and he did an okay job. I think they might have even moved him off before he got injured, but there's no plan B, and I'm not sure plan A is the best result anyway.
Yeah. So we spoke about Paulson playing that kind of back role.
Yeah.
Do you think he's the answer, or I don't think he is? We need a proper defender, yeah?
Yeah.
That can curtail those kind of...
And I don't think we're going to find one this season, which is going to be an issue.
My next question, Chris, is I know that we know the teams at the moment, but I've written down at the time when I was watching the game, does Tom De Koning get a game ahead of Mitch McGovern, considering he didn't have a great pre-season, or albeit a very short pre-season and exposure to the Marsh Cup?
No, we're doing this podcast a bit later than probably when you put that question together, but I wouldn't have thought so then. Well, I didn't think so then, and it's been confirmed now without giving too much away to the teams. So,
yep,
I can understand why they'd go McGovern ahead of TDK.
Yeah, that's fair enough. But I just thought that when he came on, at least he showed a bit of. It was exciting to watch him play.
A bit of spunk.
He created opportunities. Yeah, a bit of spunk, exactly right. And McGovern didn't have a good game, but only played a half. And look, if he kicked 3 goals in the second half, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Yeah,
a bit of a bland one. But was it a good or bad preseason, or is that a bit too black and white?
It's a bit too black and white. Good, still a good question though. I don't think we gained a whole lot out of it, but at the same time, we got through it. We seem to be fairly unscathed with injuries in the matches. We come out of it knowing we've got a lot of work to do, but we showed glimpses of what we actually can do. So, look, I don't think it was a great preseason, but I wouldn't write it off completely. And I'm happy for the players not to be too complacent coming off sort of, was a 6-5 finish to last season, which is always the risk.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was watching the Fox footy coverage. Nick Del Santo was on the boundary line. He described the wind as blusty, and he also continued to say that Plowman was off with a knock to the knee.
Yep.
Do you know the problem with him saying that Plowman was off with a knock to the knee?
It wasn't Plowman.
Plowman was on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was an awkward minute. So my question is, does Del Santo need to work on his role as a boundary rider?
Yes. But it's a pre-season. He's warming into it like a lot of the players.
Yeah.
And just like missing a clear 15-metre kick, no pressure, that's what he did on that occasion.
Yep, you're
He's
right.
He's got some
it's
work
pre-season.
To do.
It's a pre-season for him as well, so you're right. Give him a bit of leeway, but that was pretty...
It wasn't great, was it?
Pretty awesome.
Right, what do you reckon, Andy? Does that wrap up the Brisbane game?
Yeah, look, we're going to
start looking ahead.
I know everyone's seen it. Yeah, let's look ahead because that's what we want to see.
All right, so coming up against Richmond Tigers, last year's reigning premiers, round one, teams are out. Do you want to
teams
take us through
out.
The? Do you want to take us through the back line first?
Yeah, I'll take us through the back line. So, team has been announced.
Back line,
we've got Lachie Plowman, Liam Jones, and Sam Doherty. Halfback, we've got Nick Newman, Jacob Wiedering, and Sam Petrescu-Seaton, who has obviously had a limited preseason.
Yeah, that's a little surprise. Go through good to see.
Yeah. Centre line, Sam Walsh, Ed Curnow, and Jack Nunes, if you want to take the forwards.
Okay, so forward line, we have Paddy Dow on a flank, Mitch McGovern centre half forward, Jack Martin on the other half forward, Gibbons forward pocket, Casbolt full forward, Jack Silvani forward pocket.
And followers?
So followers, we have Cruiser in the ruck, Mark Murphy, Ed Curnow. Do we call them Ruck Rovers anymore, or are they just followers?
No, Paddy Cripps is in the followers from the one I'm looking at.
Oh, interesting.
I named him in the centre line.
Oh, we've got different teams then. Either way.
Maybe Cripps has been dropped.
Let's hope they're both in the starting 22. Interchange. What's your interchange?
Yeah. Cade Simpson. We're the same players. They might not but match up. Cade Simpson, Will Setterfield, Zach Fisher, and Dave Cunningham.
Yeah, exactly what I've got.
And what about the emergencies? Maybe different.
I've got Lockie O'Brien, Sam Philp, Williamson, and Pittnett.
Yep.
All right,
I've got Pittnett, Williamson, O'Brien, and Lance Whitnell.
That's accurate. We'll go with yours.
So we obviously last week in the Fremantle pod, we put I think we did 17 locks as who was going to play round one. How right or wrong were we? Because you've got it in front of you, I don't.
Yeah, I do. I've got it on the board in the Baggers basement. So I'll go through what we had. We had Simpson, and these are the locks that we set. Absolute locks, regardless. You know, people with injuries we weren't including, were we? So we had Simpson, Jones, Plowman, Newman, Wiedering, Dock as the backman. They're all included?
Yep, they are, yep.
So if we go through the middle or thereabouts, we had Setterfield, Cripps, Walsh, Fisher.
Yep, they're all playing.
All in the team. Followers, we had Cruiser, Murphy, Kerno.
Yep.
Forward line, Martin, Casbolt, McGovern, Betts.
All right, so unfortunately, Betts is out.
Yeah, with a 3 to 4 week injury, which is going to hurt us, but we can touch on that a bit later. And then we had the four players that we had there that were thereabouts. We weren't quite sure because of injury or whatever that could be in there. We had Gibbons, Cowboy, Mackay, Pittnett. So Gibbons is playing, SPS is playing, Mackay obviously isn't, and Pittnett's emergency. So
maybe we'll quickly touch on the injuries just before we get into the team. So who have we got out?
So, good question. I mean, we've said Betts, 3 to 4 weeks, and that's a big
with
blow.
With a calf.
That's a massive blow. The old man injury. It's not great on the eve of the start of the season.
And I think that most people, as exciting as it is to see Carlton play round one, I'd like to think that there's 30% at least of that exciting, you know, that wants to see.
Do you reckon Betts it's going to affect the crowd?
So I'm really disappointed about that.
Do you reckon it'll affect the crowd, Betts not being there?
I think the crowd will be smaller, yep.
Yep, okay, good.
Yep.
Good, that'll be the sole reason. All right, Charlie Kerno, knee indefinite, we know. Kemp, knee indefinite. Harrison McCready, hamstring test. He always just seems to be on this injury list. Caleb Marchbank, knee 1 to 2 weeks, but you reckon you've heard longer?
For Marchbank, I'm pretty sure Russell came out and said 2 to 3 weeks. So, okay. I mean, yeah, 1 to...
bit of discrepancy but...
Neither healing it. So he got a knock in the Brisbane game to the knee, as Del Santo failed to point out, and he's got bruising on the knee.
Okay. Harry Mackay, groin, we know, 3 to 4 weeks. We predicted this one. Got shot down a couple of times. But he's not going to be there.
Oh, look, we don't always get it right. We don't always get it wrong. But we did say Mackay wasn't going to play round one.
He just Russell's never looked likely,
said,
did he?
He's trained... But Russell has said he's trained pretty much solidly for 3 to 4 weeks, but he's still 3 to 4 weeks off.
Yeah.
So I think we said a month into the season. So he was never going to be right for round one.
So hopefully it looks like they've waited for the injury to go away, basically, and they're going to give him a mini preseason of 8 weeks before he plays a game. So fingers crossed.
That's really smart. I mean, can we afford to risk him at all when we've got Kerno out and McGovern who's not firing at the moment from what we've seen in this preseason? So we need all the forwards we can get.
I was about to say it's a 22-game season, which should be important to get him right, but that's not exactly the case. But important to get him right before he comes back. Petrevski Seaton is a test, he's in. Lockie Plowman, an ankle test, he's in.
Okay, so Petrevski Seaton didn't play. He played in the VFL last week.
And I think only played half a game as well.
Yeah, only played half a game. So we had him as a lock, didn't we? So,
well, we had him depending on injury. If he overcame. If he overcame his injury, we had him there ready to go. Half a game of football.
He's my boy for the season, isn't he?
He's your boy, so you're hoping he's. Oh, you're glad he's there.
Yeah, so I don't think Carlton would. I'd like to think Carlton wouldn't play him if he's not ready to go. The fact he only played a half in the VFL is kind of concerning. But, I mean,
well,
they wouldn't play him if he's not 100% fit.
let's face it, he's coming to round one with less work under his belt than he has this year. You know, first season, he missed most of the preseason. Yeah. They played him anyway, so.
Yeah, that's true, yep.
Who else is in the team that we didn't put down? I mean, we said there were five spots open for the take.
So
who else has got them?
I can see Dave Cunningham is in.
That's so a weird one.
No, I don't think it is, because I was speaking to Pepe Sancho and BB Blues.
Pepe Sancho, great follower of this program.
And BB Blues, we discussed it as well. And BB Blues wants Tom Williamson in. If Betts is out, Cunningham has to go in as a replacement. You don't put Williamson ahead of that. And I think Cunningham, he only kicked seven goals last year, but he is someone who's capable of kicking goals up forward. So
straight.
I just don't know who else so who do you replace? You know, you're taking out, you know, a small forward who, you know, we're obviously struggling to score, as seen in the Fremantle game, especially seen in the Brisbane game. So I think Cunningham's the only one that you can actually put in that's a realistic or the smartest choice to put in.
Yeah, look, I'm not surprised.
Anyone else?
I'm not surprised they've picked him. I'm just surprised they didn't play him in that second game. They played him in the VFL, so.
No, but I've got no doubt if Betts was playing, Cunningham doesn't play.
Yeah,
this week.
Which is a bit of a blight on him, isn't it? But hopefully, he makes the most of his chances.
Yeah, I don't think Cunningham wasn't ready. I don't think, and I think it was evident, like you said, that maybe the fact he didn't play against Brisbane was an indication that he wasn't going to play round one. However, you look at the emergencies with like Pitnett, Williamson, O'Brien, Philp, you know, I think Cunningham's the best. You know, maybe he's not the most deserving player to come in and play, but he's the most suited for that role.
Absolutely. I don't think we have too many choices.
Goals, though. Yeah. And I said to our BB Blues that, you know, if Lachie Plowman goes out or Nick Newman goes out, you're not going to bring Cunningham in. You're going to bring Williamson.
Well, you've got other replacements,
And this is the thing about having a bit of depth with the team that we've spoken about, so important that you don't just necessarily replace. You know, you've got the depth to replace with players that are going to fill that role rather than just the kind of the next best.
Yeah.
So I think it's a really good in. To be honest, I'm really happy with Cunningham coming in, and I hope that he can generate a bit of excitement because you know, he's probably the next best thing to Betts in that kind of role.
Yeah, look, I'm very excited. He's my boy for the year, so I'm glad to see him there.
Yeah,
I just wish it was better circumstances that way. But you've highlighted, you know, the efficiency we have in the back line when we're talking about Paulson replacement for Plowman. We've got the same thing in that forward liner. And so, fortunately, we got Betts over. But, yeah, there's a reason for it. Who else is in the team that we didn't have as a lock?
We didn't have Paddy Dow as a lock, did we?
No. And I think that's fair enough.
Yeah. I think that's fair enough. I think with him and Fisher, we said, as we've gone on many times, they had disappointing years. But I think watching the Brisbane game, Dow showed a lot of composure. He also, you know, he had a few minor fumbles and stuff, as you will, as a young player. He works so hard, but there are a few times that he looks so good, and I'm really excited about Dow. And I think he's a really good player. I just think he needs to get the confidence and needs to get the composure and, you know, take those extra few seconds because he definitely can accumulate the ball and
we can light it up, can't he?
Yeah, that's it. And so. we saw him last year break away, and you know, he can do things that are great. So I'm glad Dow's in. It wasn't the fact that we just weren't sure who's going to be a lock in relation to, you know, who else plays.
Fair enough. Like we said, those five positions are up. With Betts out, that became six positions, and we had some injuries. And like, great to see Gibbons back. Because I thought that ankle was far more serious at the time, but he deserves his place.
He was best on, against Fremantle. So with Jack Martin. So Jack Noons,
yeah, he wasn't going to be a lock, so comfortable with that one, but good to see him. And
debutante.
Jack Noons.
Noons? We didn't really, in fairness, we both said that in both games he didn't stand out. He wasn't awesome. You know, I tell you one thing that stood out to me was Betts took a mark against in the Brisbane game. And Noons obviously called for it. You know, the old handball to Noons to kick the goal from 50. Kicked it on the full.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to call for it, make sure you
you're in make a good sure position you put it through. Or,
yeah, but look, I think Nunes looks like he's going to be one of those kind of players. It's going to be solid. Not, you know, he's not going to win the best and fairest, you know. But I think he's going to play a pretty good role. And you know, we always thought he was all right at St Kilda. Hopefully, he just kind of takes his chance and plays right. And yeah, good on him for playing his first game for Carlton.
Yeah. Look, it makes sense that we're going to put a mature body in, and a body that's,
yeah,
you know, had all the preseason, played all the matches leading into it. So, in a way, it's a bit of a no-brainer, and hopefully he takes his chances. Anyone else?
Another debutant, yep. Technically.
Yep.
Jack Martin.
How exciting is it going to be to see him play?
Him and Betts have been kind of the highlight for me in the preseason, particularly Martin. He just looks really good. Really, really good.
He's made for the MCG, isn't he?
There were two things in the Brisbane game. I think he put it on Silvani's chest in the forward line. Another one, he turned onto the left and laced out to Setterfield. I don't know. He just looks like he's got the class. He's got that kind of silky movement. And he's just going to... yeah, just give us that kind of extra dimension that we really kind of need. And, you know, he says he's starting on the half forward line. Hopefully he can kind of create those kind of goals, because his foot skills are unbelievable. And yep. His forward pressure that we saw, particularly against Fremantle, his forward pressure just looks great. So I think he's probably one of those players that just adds goals, not necessarily on his stat sheet, but he'll create goals. So really excited about Jack Martin.
Yeah, look, it's a bit disappointing, because he's built for the MCG, he's built for the night games, he's built for the big occasion, the big crowds, and he's just not going to get that tomorrow night. But
no, he's not. Jack Silvani, yeah. So we didn't have him as a lock, did we?
No, we didn't have him as a lock, and we had him as a number of people fighting for those positions. But we said he'd get... what did he say?
We did.
Kennedy versus Silvani.
We said Kennedy versus Silvani. Kennedy's not even on the emergency list.
Yeah.
So I think it's the right call. I think Silvani is ultimately a better player than Kennedy, or offers a bit
adds
more.
Adds more,
yeah.
At the moment, anyway.
No, he offers more than Kennedy. Yeah, I think he offers more than Kennedy, and I think that's a good decision. And I hope Jack has a really big year, because he's a very smart footballer, like we said last week.
Yeah, but I'm glad to see him there too. But it's a bit of a worry for Kennedy, unless he's picked up a little niggle, not to be even on that emergency list. So
Sam Philp, emergency. You That's called it.
It's exciting to see him there, isn't it?
Yeah, really exciting.
What do you say? We said he's a smoky for round one. He's not going to get up for it, but
he's gone as close as he can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the next best thing, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I think he's had a probably pretty good like pre-season. From what we saw at training, he looked good, and which is, well, you know, we talked about, and I thought he's just adds that speed, and that's exactly why we got him. Yeah, I reckon he's probably not far off, you know, as long as his season goes ahead, he's probably not far off getting a start in the 22.
Yeah, agreed. And look, it's surely not going to hurt his confidence, is it, to be on the emergency in round one of your first season? So good on the kid.
Lockie O'Brien, is he a bit tough to miss, or?
Well, it's a weird one, because we saw a couple of the practice matches before, even the Marsh Community Series, the interclubs, and he was owning a wing. Wasn't disposing terribly well, but he was getting plenty of it, and looked like he was going to get first shot at it, and then just sort of disappeared off the radar. So I'm not quite sure about that one.
Well, yeah, he definitely didn't have a bad preseason from what we saw, but again, you know, we are suffering from injuries, but it's showing that we've got a bit of depth that we can afford to have some of these good players like Lockie O'Brien, who, you know, was playing, you know, the majority of games last year, especially under Teague. Tom Williamson, you know, has looked all right, and he's a real fan favourite, and I think everyone loves Tom Williamson, but he's an emergency. But, you know, just putting the best team on the park as we see fit at the moment, and, you know, it's good to see that we've got a bit of depth. We even got the big pit net, didn't get a game. Are you surprised with that?
Well, not really. We always thought they'd probably go the one ruck strategy. I reckon that'll probably change throughout the season. But it's interesting that Richmond have named two rucks there, so he's gonna be up against it.
So who are they named?
So they've got Soldo and they've got Nankervis. Yep.
So that is interesting.
Yeah. Because then, I mean, who do you throw as his backup ruck?
Casbolt. Unfortunately, you have to throw Casbolt.
You want him in the forward line. With the injuries we've got.
Unless you can get Mitch McGovern to step up, because there's no one really else to... If Cruiser goes off the ground and Casbolt takes that, then you're really leaving the tall forward to be Mitch McGovern. So yeah,
who's ordinarily a third tall.
Exactly right. So you're relying massively on Mitch McGovern. But one good thing about playing Richmond in 2020 is we're not playing against Rance. So it's one less, but they've still got a really good back line. So.
Yeah, but it's a very interesting decision, isn't it, to not carry anybody else and cruise at a rocket. And he's had a bit of an interrupted pre-season, but I think we must have something up our sleeve with this, and we might be going for a small forward line and trying to throw something that at Richmond that they haven't seen before. Which, well, what are the keys to this game?
Look, I'm looking at the forward line, and, you know, I do like, I mean, we are without, you know, Eddie Betts, who we got in to be that kind of premier and number one small forward. But we've still got Gibbons, who I thought just had a great preseason. Jack Silvani was good. You know, Paddy Dow and Jack Martin. So that's the two flanks and the two pockets. It's pretty exciting. And, you know, you got Levi and Mitch up the spine. Yeah, you take out Levi. But as long as we can bring it to ground, I think those players are pretty capable of creating something. And Jack Silvani, even though he's playing that kind of the smaller forward, he still can play that marking role, can't he? So,
yeah.
As long as he's kicking straight.
Yeah, exactly right. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think the forward line's going to be the big key to tomorrow night and how we go. I mean, it's not our first choice forward line, that's for sure, but can we make it work?
Yeah, that's right. And look, Zach Fisher, I'm hoping for a really big really big season from him, because he had a really good preseason.
Yeah, and he might be a bit of an X factor, and if he lifts 10-20% from what he put out last year, that's really going to go a long way. I think the midfield battle's going to be what it is. We've got Paddy Cripps leading the way. We've got Mark Murphy, Ed Curnow. We know what we're going to get from those, but it is that next generation, and how much have they improved over pre-season or from last year will make a big difference.
And that's it. And I mean, we know what we're going to expect from Sam Walsh as well. And looking across that centre line, that's when we've got Jack Noones. And that's when we really want a real step up from him, to show that experience that he's played all those, you know, games with St Kilda, and that's what he can bring into that, you know, because you're not playing a better team than Richmond at the moment. So it'll be really interesting to see how they go. And we've got, through the interchange, you know, Setterfield is to come in. Like we said, Zach Fisher and Cunningham, who I'm pretty sure will probably play that kind of forward pocket role with Gibbons going into the centre. So, you know, what's your tip for the game? Being as non-biased as you can.
I don't go in with a whole lot of confidence for a whole variety of reasons. We haven't probably previewed this as much as we would have otherwise if we had have known the game was certainly going ahead. Back line, I'm confident with. They'll hold up. Tom Lynch is a pretty good full forward. If we can contain him and... Go ahead.
Who goes to Lynch, in your opinion?
Does Wiedering go to Lynch, or does he go to Riewoldt?
Yeah, it's interesting. I kind of feel like Liam Jones is a better matchup for Riewoldt.
Yeah. Well, look, it's a modern footy. They're probably not going to play on a player specifically, more so the space, and they'll switch it up anyway. But curtail him and we'll go a long way to potentially winning the game. You know, Riewoldt, you're going to get what you get from him, probably 2-3 goals, or, you know, possibly 2-3 goals, smart decision making. But it'll be Lynch, whether he fires as a bit of an enigma or whether he doesn't. So, but I'm fairly confident in the back line. That's steady. We've got no real issues there. They've had another pre-season to work together. Midfield, reasonably confident. It's just really that forward line. And I think the forecast is going to be 30 degrees for tomorrow daytime.
Perfect.
Cloudy, so it doesn't look like it's going to be wet, so it should be some clean football played.
Yeah, look, I agree. Like, you know, we can't expect us to beat Richmond necessarily. If we did, it'd be awesome. I just want to see that we've got forward options. when we're missing, well, forward options in general with Carlton, because we haven't been a high scoring team, but when we're missing Mackay and Kerno and Betts, just that we can, these other players like your, you know, your Gibbons or your Martin, Silvani can really provide a forward option and kick the goals, and we kick straight would be great. And maybe, you know, I'd love to see the midfielders obviously pushing forward and kicking a few more goals. I mean, we'd all love to see, you know, Paddy Cripps does it all, and never criticise that bloke's game, but, you know, Cripps going forward a bit maybe and kicking goals and that kind of thing would be great. And, you know, and not to get blown out of the water, because we kind of did against Fremantle, we definitely did against Brisbane. So if we can just, you know, there's no dishonour in losing to probably the best side in the last 3 or 4 years. So yeah, just a good effort from the Blues and no injuries, that'd be great.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, because what we need is our tier two, tier three players, or the emerging players, to step up for us to become a better football team and better football club for this season, and also,
and look,
for the future.
We're a big smoky.
Yeah.
You agree? We're a big smoky, I think.
I think we're a very big smoky, you know, but
I think we're huge, so...
Yeah, we'll see what happens. We just want those players, I guess those tier two, tier three players, to step up. I'd love to be in this game until, you know, midway through the fourth quarter. I'm not ruling us out from winning it. It's obviously, it's a crazy, you know, situation at the moment anyway, so what's beyond the realms of possibility, huh?
Yeah, all right, Chris. Well, I think we've hopefully covered the preview of the game. Very exciting, but we kind of go to the Bradley Pitts.
We're going to do Bradley Pitts this
week? Or...
We'll still do it.
Yeah, if you want to.
All right.
Have you got a Bradley Pitt?
I do have one. I wasn't going to do it, but I'll bring it in. And again, this one's non-football related, but what's giving me the Bradley Pitts?
As they never are anymore.
No, I don't seem to be.
Yep.
Ask me the question.
What is your Bradley Pitt?
Cockatoos. Now, I like cockatoos. I really like them. I like most things about them. Big birds. Have presence. Yellow mohawk.
Yeah.
Awesome. They're iconic.
Yeah.
What I don't love is when they gang up together when you're camping, fly over your campground at 7 o'clock in the morning, 3 days straight, with their squawking. I'll play you a little bit.
Christian, you did send me the recording, and it was terrible. I agree. Of the cockatoos waking up at 7 a.m. But do you know what? You're the kind of guy that would go into the ocean and complain that you get bitten by a shark. You're in their backyard, mate. You can't complain about it.
I'll leave that as it is.
So we've got a bit going on in the coming weeks. So, I mean, obviously, if the games aren't being played, we've got... What have we got coming up, Chris?
Well, we've got a very, very exciting interview that we're about to lock in.
Yes.
So that's awesome.
Very exciting.
Very exciting. So stay tuned for that one. If the games don't go ahead, we've got some things on the back burner. We're going to redress our Colt 22. We did the forward line.
And I want people to get involved. Get involved in the Colt 22, because there are players that we, you know, we, like we said, we've prefaced it before. We grew up in the 80s, but we, you know, you can't ask us about, you know, we both grew up mid 80s. So, you know, give us your cult players from, you know, the 60s, if you're 50s or 40s or 60s or 70s, 80s, whatever. But I mean, we're pretty good with the 90s and above, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. But look, we'll get back to that. We're hoping there's going to be plenty of football to talk about. This is just if we do have a pause in the season, we'll get back to that Colt 22, and we'll get the midfielders, we'll get the back line coaches, or coach, captain, president.
I think you said last time, but the president's nailed, isn't it? We know who it is.
Yeah.
Who's a cult president?
Yeah.
We're not even going to bring anyone else up.
No, no. But there's plenty up our sleeves, so rest assured, if for whatever reason this coronavirus takes a hold stronger and quicker of, you know, society than what we're anticipating, football stops. Yeah. Hopefully we'll have, you know, some entertainment to continue with. But, you know,
and
in saying that too,
and stay safe.
Yeah, yeah, stay very safe. Be kind to each other. It's not a great situation at the moment, but we can act well, and we can act, you know, as good individuals and look after each other. On that note, Andy.
I'm Andy.
I'm Chris.
I'm Andy.
Are you Andy?
We are. I am Andy. We are.
The blue baggers.
The blue baggers.